please join me now? It took me a minute to put two and two together. Ashley Priori, I get that
Priori,
all correct.
Yeah.
Priori is here. And I said it took me a minute to put two and two together because Ashley has been engaged in our Pittsburgh Youth Media program. When did you get started with that? It was a couple years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago. John Binley actually came to Ellis and I talked to him and it was a really great experience.
Great. And now you're a senior at the Ellis School. I see that senior ring on your finger, I think.
Yeah.
Before we talk about what you're here to talk about, the Queen's Gambit, mm-hmm. just a little bit about you. It's your senior year. What community do you live in?
Yeah, of course. Well, first I want to say thanks so much for having me. This has been great, and it's good to be back. So I live in Shadyside. I've lived in Pittsburgh my whole life, and it's just really great to be back here. I'm looking around and the set's a little bit different, but I'm glad to be back in this room. I missed it.
Oh, well, you're always welcome here, and I'm glad you're here today. Are you thinking about what's going to be next after senior year? Have you been visiting colleges or making plans?
Yeah. So it's been a busy time for colleges. My top choice right now is University of Pennsylvania, just because it's in state. And I can continue all of my chess work, so that'll be good.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about this chess work of yours. You began something called the Queen's Gambit Chess Institute. Now, I loved chess when I was a kid. I don't play as much as I did, but I would say probably because my older brothers and my dad played chess. My mom did not. We played a lot, and probably from the age of 6 or 7 through high school, I played. When did you start playing chess, and what got you so passionate about it?
Yeah, gosh, I think I started playing when I was about 5 or 6 years old. All my siblings played, and so I learned through them. My dad taught us how to play, and so it's always been a part of my life. And I like to say that while our friends were doing basketball or soccer, like, we would always go to chess tournaments on Saturdays. And even when we weren't playing chess, it was somehow still connected in our lives. So I think it's always just been a part of my DNA.
Now, tell me about the organization you started.
Yeah, so the idea came to me in 2014. I taught at so many different institutions, Ellis, St. Edmunds, and I realized that I wanted it all under one roof. So I started this nonprofit, and I had a lot of great advisors, John, one of those people. And it started to come together. We got our nonprofit status during the summer, and I've been connecting with schools around Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Public Schools, a lot of private schools, and Pittsburgh City Government's given us support, so that's really exciting.
That is absolutely amazing. A lot of people... trying to start a nonprofit is not that easy of a thing to do. So why do you think this was necessary? I'm not challenging the idea, but I'm curious. You would think chess has been around forever, that there are already places to learn and programs, but I think you must have seemed to feel there was a gap or something missing.
Yeah, definitely. So most recently... the chess population has declined a little bit. And when I was playing, me and my sister, I think, were about the only girls in the room. And so there was a lack of diversity and equality there. And I realized that if I was a young player in Pittsburgh, I would want somewhere to go rather than a room full of adults who, you know, were playing chess in the Pittsburgh chess club. And so there was this gap. And I think that this nonprofit's a little bit different because it's not just teaching chess as a game, let's go out and play. It's almost a social movement. It's an academic movement. And I love to say it's a portable classroom because it's really taught me a lot about life and school and everything.
How so?
Yeah, so I always had trouble with math. I'm just going to say I wasn't the best at math growing up. And playing chess helped me with that experience a lot. And especially with writing. I would always write about chess and what I saw. And I realized that if we want to have, you know, quality, especially going to an all-girls school, chess was a good way to do it because it's taking that game and saying, hey, this is there's a lack of equality and diversity here. How can we make it different?
You know, I hadn't thought about it until I was mentioning growing up playing chess. I don't know why my mom didn't play chess. I mean, my mom was very bright. She went to Radcliffe. I'm quite sure she was exposed to chess. But for whatever reason, she was not part of that growing up. Have you found that there are more boys attracted to chess than girls?
Yeah, definitely. The population of boys playing is much higher, but since this nonprofit started, actually, there's been a spike in young women playing, which I'm really excited about. But yeah, my mom didn't know how to play either, and she told my dad, I really want them to learn how to play chess. And if you look at all the grandmasters out there, you know, it's really male-dominated. But I think that, especially where we are right now in the world, I think it's a changing point because a lot of my students are females, and they're having a lot of fun.
So tell me about your students. How young are they?
Oh, wow. So our students, my younger student's actually in pre-K, and she is amazing. She's beating boys in 8th grade and even 12th grade, but we...
wait a minute. She's beating 12th graders,
yeah.
And she's in preschool?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's awesome. And that she's building confidence, and she's so mature for her age, which I think chess really helps to foster.
What I always think about with chess, and maybe it's sort of trite or obvious, but it really teaches you how to think ahead. And the consequences of your actions, because as you kind of consider all the different moves you can make, you have to sort of think, well, if I do this, she's going to do this, and if I do this, he's going to do that, and before you know it, you find yourself going through life thinking about steps that way too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. It's also just a nice way to spend time with somebody. Do you find people, I would hope, just play for the fun of it?
Yeah. So there's twofold to that statement. One is that decision making is one of the things that attracted Remake Learning. So I had a meeting with them in August, and I said, you know, the kids, you know, with Pittsburgh Police chess that's going around the city, chess is something that teaches kids how to make a decision, teaches them to say, yes, if I do this, what will happen? It teaches them, you know, not necessarily, losing isn't bad. It's just, you know, you're learning your mistakes and you're figuring out what to do about them. And also, there's we're creating giant chess sets around Pittsburgh. And so that's really spiking, you know, for Pittsburgh City Government likes to think the other 15% that we're missing. So people playing and just getting some kind of education from.
Now, I've seen these in other cities. So these are oversized pieces, almost human-sized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are they?
Yeah, so there used to be one in the south side, but that actually got taken down. But we're kind of remaking the material. So we want to make it so little kids can carry them, but we also want to make it an art movement in the city too. So we're also using vinyl, and we're trying to, our main location is going to be in downtown Pittsburgh. We're going to have a giant one, which I don't know if kids can play on, but it'll be a really nice spot for people to eat lunch.
Yeah, I've seen some inflatable ones in other cities, and I can't remember. I think it might have been Savannah, Georgia, when I saw my first oversized outdoor chess set, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. There's also, you know, right in front of the Children's Museum, we have a couple chess tables that are out there. I'm not sure I've seen them being used. In New York City, there's chess tables, right?
Yeah,
that are public out there, and people are using it. It would be great. I wonder if there's a DIY chess table kit that people could put together and almost like little free libraries. We could have chess sets.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, I always say if it's not out there, let's do it.
Well, it's what a terrific thing. Well, how can people, first of all, you've got a busy schedule as a 12th grader. So What is your capacity to bring chess lessons to kids? How do you manage to have the impact you're having?
Yeah, so I usually teach after school, but I realized that I need help. We all need help. And I thought this would be a really great chance to mentor students. So I'm working with the mentoring partnership. And a lot of my staff are high schoolers, so they're coming in and I say, hey, there's a beginner's chess class. Can you help me teach it? And they don't have to know how to play chess very well. They don't have to be a grandmaster, but it's that relationship that they're building with kids, and they're learning about their home life. They're learning what they're good at, what they're not, what their goals are, and they're trying to help them achieve it. So I think that it's easy to manage because it's those broad goals. I'm not teaching them to become the next Bobby Fischer. I'm teaching them, you know, how can you make a difference? How can you change your position? No pun intended.
Yeah.
You know, in life, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think you've really latched onto something pretty remarkable, because the other thing that occurred to me is no matter who you are and what your walk in life is, I think we all sometimes feel out of control, like too many things are happening, especially if you're a middle school student or a high school student. Sometimes there's just too much coming at you. There is for all of us, but sometimes coping skills may not quite be as strong if you're younger. So here's a chance to suddenly be in charge of a world, the world of the bishops and the rooks and the knights and the kings and queens and pawns. Who am I leaving out? I think I got everybody.
Yeah,
you could be in charge of the chess pieces in front of you and how they move, and kind of lose yourself. But it's not losing yourself, excuse me, in a screen. You're just with one other person. And that's got to be just a very therapeutic to do that.
Definitely. It gives them something that they feel they have control of. And, you know, it's a miniature version of life. It's, you know, it's portable classroom. And I just think it's so versatile. But we've only seen it in one way, which is, you know, stressful competitions or playing
against people. Yeah, people don't show folks playing chess for the most part. It is sort of taught as something that's very, very competitive as opposed to just a way to relax. And, you know, I think when people get together and play cards often, it's just for fun.
Yeah.
Nobody really plays chess. You think of checkers as being for fun, but chess, it's like a big competition.
Yeah.
So you mentioned wanting to continue this even when you go to school. What are your aspirations with the club?
Yeah, so I think, you know, going to college is really great, gaining new tools to apply to this. And while I would like to think that I really know what I'm doing a lot of the time, it's really been support and, you know, taking things day by day. And I know that journalism and business are two things I want to continue in college. And I'm hoping this expands because while I can't release it right now, there are other sectors to this business. Chess is just the first part of it because chess connects with so many things. And I'm really excited to continue it and see where it goes. And I hope that Pittsburgh will become this city of chess, but chess in a way that it's, you know, we always say we're the city of champions. So I think that's a good connection there. But chess in a way that it's, you know, an educational tool. It's a social movement.
Yeah, I really – have you looked nationally to see if anybody's doing things similar to what you're doing?
Yeah, so I've looked at that, and it's interesting because our mission is so unique that even the United States Chess Federation, it doesn't have that same calling. It doesn't spike those movements for diversity and chess specifically as a tool for life. That's why I think we're so unique, and that's why I'm excited to start it in Pittsburgh, because you know, it's my hometown, even though a lot of the times I talk about, you know, going beyond. And I think it's going to make a big difference. And while it's just getting started, I'm excited to see where it goes.
How can people, I guess there's two things, is do you need any help from people that just might like to support what you're doing? And do you have the capacity to serve additional schools?
Yeah, definitely. So every day I get emails, people saying we want some type of chess. And every day I reach out to them. But we need all the help we can get. It's really open to anyone who wants to help. You know, they don't have to be playing chess. They could help with marketing. They could help with getting people involved and communicating. So I want people to know, especially your viewers, since, you know, the youth, that it's really doing what you're best at and applying it to this, because we really want to get diverse people involved. And so,
do you need help with chess sets or equipment? Do you have? I imagine you as having a home full of like 50 chess sets or something. How?
Yeah. So I've been lucky because when this started, I had a lot of chess sets that I could use, but. We're starting to get grants. We met with the Pittsburgh Foundation, and because as much as these are expanding, we need to get more chess sets and just school equipment and finding a permanent location.
Yeah, I think ideally you'd want to have once you teach chess, you'd want to be able to leave chess sets at the school, and I think you'd want to leave nice chess sets at the school, not cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap ones, yeah. Just because, I don't know, there's a nice feeling. Mm-hmm. That's actually, you talk about aspects of chess. I don't know if I can think of another game offhand where what you play with is a work of art or can be a work of art when you think of all the different styles of pieces. So that's even something that kids can learn about and think about as they play the various types of pieces.
Definitely. They gain a connection with the pieces, so that's how they don't want them to be captured or taken.
Did you have a favorite piece when you were growing up?
Oh, the queen, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, so that's our logo, and that I just thought was perfect for this whole thing.
I always liked the knights. I think a lot of kids like the knights because they're little horsies.
Yes.
And they can gallop around. Ashley, I'm really proud of you, and I'm happy to know that you're considering journalism, too.
Thank you.
I think you'd be great at doing that. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the Queen's Gambit Chess Institute, a website, or ways to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can visit our website if you just search us. We're right there. And I'd just like to say that anyone, even if you don't know how to play, because there's this big thing, I don't know how to play chess, I'm not smart enough to play, I don't have the mindset, you can learn it, and we just really encourage you have that knowledge of the game.
No, it really isn't that hard. I mean, you just need to learn. Let's break it down. A king, a queen, a knight, a rook, a bishop, and a pawn. Mm-hmm. So six different pieces, each of which move in different ways. Once you know how they move, and it's just a pattern. Once you know how they move, you're already ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it can get much more complicated than that, but it's really, and it's just some can move diagonally, some can move back and forth, some can move in any direction. That's why you pick the queen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And some, like the king, are very limited in mobility, which is kind of interesting. Lots of nobility, but no mobility.
Exactly. And like you said, once you get those the pieces down, the strategy is up to your creativity. So whoever you want to go for, which is what I really like. You know, there's some basics that you need to get down, but then you can go and make the board your own, which I love.
Well, Ashley Lynn Priori, congratulations. Keep in touch and let us know how things are going. And how can folks reach you if they want to learn more about the program?
Yeah, visit our website. It's queensgambit.com. And another thing I should just add real quick is Chess Week in Pittsburgh's coming up. We're getting a proclamation from Pittsburgh City Government first week of October. We're hosting a lot of events, and the flyers will be out soon. So I hope, Pittsburgh Youth Media or someone can, if you guys want to get involved, we'd love any support we can get.
Absolutely. That's right around the corner, Chess Week. Uh-huh. We should have chess pie. Do you know there's a pie called chess pie?
I didn't know.
There is. It has nothing to do with chess, but it's really quite delicious. Thank you for being with us, Ashley Lynn Priori.
That Ezekiel saw the wheel way in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel. It was way in the middle.